listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
And welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me each, as you know, we hear from each basically once a month. And this week I have with me LaToya, and LaToya is part of each. Welcome, LaToya.
Good afternoon, all. Nice to meet you.
And LaToya, we know each do a lot of things. So what's your actual job with each?
Absolutely. So my name's LaToya. I work with the vaccination clinics at each. I'm the clinical lead, so I do oversee the immunisers within the clinic and keep it all running smoothly throughout the vaccination COVID period.
So you have a vaccination hub or centre, or whereabouts is that, LaToya?
Yes, so we have two fixed sites, our main one being Ringwood and Braeside Avenue, but we also have a site based in Pakenham over that Monash Cardinia way there.
So they haven't always had a vaccination hub. So is this something they've created, or is this something that some of you were working and have just transposed over to that area?
We do have a smaller site at Patterson Street, which does the usual childhood immunisations and vaccinations there. But in regards to COVID, this was new to all of us, and a lot of our workforce were dragged from many different areas. We are in the old council buildings, which a lot of you may be familiar with, and we've been very lucky to have such a huge building to run with this.
And I guess one of the things we need to talk a bit about is the vaccinations. Do you find, first of all, do you do any testing there, or only just vaccinations?
It is only currently vaccinations at our site. We do have separate testing clinics.
Because it seems to me, and I'm no expert, but just driving past, there doesn't seem to be anywhere near the amount of people at these testings. So would we start to think that we know the numbers are dropping down. Do you think that maybe that's because the numbers are dropping down, or is there any reason why that's dropped off?
In regards to testing or vaccination?
No, testing, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel it's a great thing that it is dropping off a little there as well. It means that the transmission rates have gone down, and hopefully a lot less people are feeling sick as well. I feel like the PCR testing itself has dropped mainly because of the introduction of the rapid antigen tests, which has been fantastic and a lot more accessible for people if they can get their hands on it.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been that accessible to get. How successful are the rats, as we'd like to call them? Because some people seem to be getting a negative result from them and then getting a positive result other. Is that just the way they've tested, or are the tests just not quite as good as what they could have been?
Yeah, so unfortunately with those, because it's not clinically and it hasn't gone to a lab to look at, they aren't as accurate as well. They are fantastic for picking up those early signs of COVID before you do have symptoms, but there obviously is a peak effectiveness to them. But the main thing is that make sure everyone reads the leaflets really carefully, because some of them are quite specific, like the saliva testing. You do need to wait half an hour before you've eaten and drunk, or it could throw off a false positive. There's lots of different bits and pieces there, so always follow those instructions carefully.
LaToya, is there any test around? Like some people say, oh, look, I was crook the other day for 3 or 4 days. I felt like I was zero, rah, rah. But I probably should have gone and got a COVID test, but I didn't bother. I suspect someone don't want it because they don't want to find out they were positive, don't want to isolate. But anyway, that's only my assumption. Is there any tests around where a person can test, you know, a week later and that shows that they have had it, or is that just fanciful?
Unfortunately, with that, it would be more of a GP-based, and you need a blood test to see if you had antibodies or different things there. It's not something that we promote as well, because it's a bit unnecessary and it could be quite costly. I've never had to go to the extent for research, though. I feel that would be the only way to feel if you have had COVID.
LaToya, I have with me LaToya from each, and we talked about the COVID-19 vaccination services they're offering. LaToya, somebody's had COVID. How long after they've had COVID should they get the vaccination, straight away or should they wait a while?
The current ATAGI guidelines, they do advise that because we are in an outbreak situation still, just to wait that 7 days of isolation. And as soon as you are feeling better and you're not having any of those side effects or symptoms, you are able to get your vaccine as soon as possible.
So you don't need, once your isolation period's over, you don't need to wait, you know, like I know they say with, you know, if, I think the flu one, if you've had the flu, you've got to wait 3 weeks or something. So you don't have to do any of that. It's just once you feel all right, you can go and get the vaccination.
No, yeah, that's exactly what they are saying. It is dependent person by person as well, if they have underlying health conditions. Yep. A lot of people after having COVID itself, they do have some sort of immunity, but that is only to that particular strain that they had. So if it was Omicron, they would have a little bit of immunity maybe 4 months afterwards to it, but not Delta or any of the previous variants. So we do strongly advise. Yeah, we strongly advise for them to come in and get their booster or second dose, whatever it is, as soon as they're feeling well.
Now, for those that are maybe the anti-vaxxers, I don't know, that say they don't want to be injected with this one, there is another one coming out, am I right, sort of in the next month or so, that's based on something else completely different. Is that right?
Yes. So the way that they've researched it and also the ingredients that they've put into it is different to the mRNA vaccines or even the AstraZeneca as well. So that's called the Novavax. And it has a natural-based property, which is from the sap of a tree, I believe, and it's called a saponin. It is sort of new in the industry. They have done a lot of research on it, obviously, and it is that more natural adjuvant that it has there that people seem to be a bit more keen about. It does have a decent efficacy of about 90%, and it is different from person to person like any vaccine, but it is an alternative for people that aren't so keen on the mRNA or the other vaccines available.
Are there people around who would prefer not to have one that's based on medicine? I struggle a bit to wonder what the difference is. If you're going to be vaxxed, well, why not just get the other one? So what's the advantage or disadvantage over the two of them?
Look, I feel like it's personal choice at the end of the day because, you know, it's everyone has their own beliefs and it's their own body that they're putting things into. So I do understand that people have different choices there. The mRNA vaccine, it is completely synthetically made in the lab. And whereas, say, the newer Novavax, that is based off some more natural ingredients that they are talking off there.
So, all right, we've got people at home today. They might not have had their first vaccination. Hopefully they will have, but some of them won't. Is there a preference as to which one they should have? Or is that, again, just a personal preference?
It does come down to personal preference, but also recommended with the newer variants as well. An mRNA vaccine does have a higher efficacy or a level of protectiveness than it would say.
What are the names of those?
So that would be Moderna, Pfizer. Those are the ones that are more recommended as opposed to AstraZeneca that they have now because that protectiveness is a little bit lower there. The Novavax still does have quite a high effectiveness or protectiveness and it does come down to personal preference at the end of the day. And obviously, do your research. There's lots of credible research out there through ATAGI, the main governing bodies that are approving these vaccines, and just see what you feel, yeah.
I guess the thing that we do probably need to stress is that while you're going to do your research, you've got to be very careful as to where you're getting that information from, don't you? Because there's a lot of what I would have thought fairly inaccurate. Well, I don't know whether it's inaccurate or what, but it's based on people's half ideas and all that sort of stuff, isn't it? So they need to talk to people like yourselves and that to get an informed decision, don't they? Rather than just, you don't want to be looking up Facebook or something because you'll get some pretty weird answers there.
Yeah, look, there are a lot of blogs and different posts out there that are coming from people that say they are a reputable source, but it is hard to actually check that and see if they are as who they say they are. So we always get you to go back to a trusted medical professional, whether that be your GP, pharmacist, or look at government-confirmed sites like TGA, ATAGI, if you do prefer to go to the American ones like the FDA and all that, but those are all the scientific-based ones, the World Health Organization as well. So try to keep to those ones there that they do quote you those statistics and you do get that more open information as well.
Well, and you just need to make sure that the statistics that you are reading are just not made up, don't you? You need to make sure that you are on this. Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me LaToya from EACH, and we're talking about all things to do with vaccination. LaToya, just quickly, I was talking to you off air as to how you got your name, because I think it's a terrific name. Would you like to tell the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So my mother, when she was young, she signed up to a pen pal communications group, and she was partnered up to a beautiful woman who lived in France, and her name was also Latoya. So with their friendship growing over the years, Mum obviously grew fond of the name and named me after her.
I think that's fascinating. As I just said to you off air, just as well, it was a nice name that she, a nice lady that she hooked up with. It could have had disastrous, but I mean, it worked out well. Latoya, now, we're talking all things to do with vaccination, and I'm sure you're going to tell us this, but I read in the paper the other day that the boosters aren't taking off anywhere near as good as what the vaccination, I mean, we got going pretty quick on that. We got up to 95%. Two things I'm going to ask you. Why do you think that is? Why is it so slow? Was it the fact that people felt if they got the first two up really high, then things were going to start to open up? And with the booster, they don't see it that way? Or do you think they're a bit sick of the whole thing? Or what? Why do you, or not just you, but why do each believe that these boosters are dropping off?
Yeah, so look, I think it's a combination of things of what you said there as well. You know, we're all very tired of COVID. It's been going on for much longer than we thought it would.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying our best, but, you know, it still keeps rearing its head with another variant and another variant. And, you know, it's not just the healthcare workforce that we're getting a bit tired, but also everyone at home, school kids with in-home learning. So that's one thing, definitely. But also the fact that, yeah, government coming out with saying, you know, two doses, and whether it was the mandatory doses as well that people had to receive. And people were happy just to get to that 100%, almost like it was a goal as well, or try to achieve that. And with boosters, I guess things have opened up a lot more. People are seeing a lot more freedoms and lessening of restrictions, and they feel like they're not needing to get the booster as much. And also the fact that Omicron, thankfully, hasn't been as severe with the side effects and hospitalizations. We've been really lucky with that, as opposed to Delta, which is still very much out there, and we are still seeing a lot of hospitalizations there.
So Delta's still floating around out there in the ether, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the hospitalizations, as I said, seem to be Delta variant. And obviously the people that are more immunocompromised, or they do happen to be unfortunate to catch that Delta, they are ending up in a, you know, more dire situation.
All right, so we had our first shot, we went along and we got that, then we waddled along and we got our second shot, and then all of a sudden we were told that you need a third shot. So what's the length that the first one and two shots are going to last? Why the third booster? Because obviously number one and two are petering out. Is that right? Or is this just added protection or what?
So it's a bit of both. So our bodies have natural immunity, but the vaccine itself does give us that additional protection, and our bodies can adapt and learn to it. But there's only a certain amount of time that our bodies are able to hold on to that, because it does burn it off naturally, like chemicals or you know, proteins and that it does wear off over time. Yep. So with these efficacies saying, you know, you'll have 95% protection, people would assume that you'd stay with that 95% the whole time. But actually what it is waning immunity. So your body slowly eats through all of that vaccine over time, and you do get a lower immunity. So the boosters are essentially boost your immunity. So it'll take you back up to a higher level of protection to look after you in the long run.
This is probably an unfair question to ask, because I mean, I don't know, you might need to be a scientist to answer it, so it's a bit unfair. So what's to say that we don't all of a sudden rock along and say, whoops, that booster didn't last long enough, oh, we'll have to give you four, five and six? I mean, I know there are some people that are saying that. Look, I don't want to get three, because once I start three, the next thing they'll start four, then they'll start five, and then they'll start six. So what do you say to those people? Or is that not fair?
No, that's okay. Look, I feel it is definitely a science-based question as well. They are studying this every day and quite in-depth to see how long it will protect us, because it's still very new, even though, you know, all the manpower and the work that's gone into it. We don't know until we can actually see over time how effective this is. So like with your common cold or flu vaccines, that we do get them every year because there's new strains. It's a bit of a top-up kind of thing. So hopefully with, you know, all the researchers and all the time that they're putting into this, hopefully in the long run, we will have a vaccine that will give us a much longer protection. So for the time being, it's sort of a sit and wait, and we do have to, fingers crossed, something will come out.
So we do need to get to the stage somewhere, I guess, and I think this is unfair to ask you, where it's a bit like the flu jab, that you get one a year, because people are probably going to come back once a year, but if it keeps coming three, four, five, four a year, people are just not going to keep doing that, are they, whether we like it or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been quite lucky with the strains that have mutated. They haven't been any worse. I feel that there's a possibility or a potential for something as transmissible as Omicron to appear, but then also have the worst side effects and the severity of Delta. So these are constantly mutating in different countries and foreign travel, and people bringing things back. It's still very unsure.
And of course, as we open up the travel, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, it's a bit like the schools, you know, when you open up the schools, you've got a million kids all of a sudden getting around. The numbers have got to rise. That's just the way of life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just getting people to the stage that we do have a general level of protectiveness in our bodies, that it does work a certain percentage against most variants. And that's the difference between decreasing that transmission rate and also having less side effects as well from a severe variant.
I'm talking to Latoya from Each, and we talk about vaccinations. Now, one thing that we haven't covered, Latoya, is vaccinations for the young people. How are they going, and are the percentages up, or what's going on?
Yeah, we had a fantastic start with the vaccinations for kids, and families have been really proactive, especially before, you know, school started. We have seen it drop off a little bit because kids are back at their normal activities, so we are trying to provide different twilight sessions and options for people to come and get vaccinated.
And also, of course, some of those have still only had their first shot, haven't they? Like if they were...
Yes, so we have seen a couple of kids coming through for their second doses, but Atagi are advising people to wait for 8 weeks between that first and second dose. Obviously, chatting to your health professional, like your GP, if your child does have any underlying conditions and they may need to come in earlier.
What about the one and two, you're saying wait the 8 weeks? Are they also suggesting that the young people need a booster as well, or they only need the two vaccinations?
For the time being, they are only advising the two vaccinations unless the children are immunocompromised and have a particular underlying condition, then they would need three doses to complete their primary course.
Right, but mainly at the moment, a healthy child is only having the two.
Just the two.
Yeah. I was at a meeting last night and we were told that by the end of March, even volunteers at schools or the parents, if they want to... into the school grounds, they're going to have had their booster shot, that while up to now they've been allowed in with the two shots, that won't be considered fully vaccinated as far as schools go by the end of March. And I think it might have actually been in today's paper as well, but I know it's at this meeting last night where it came up. You know, there's a pressure on to get that booster, particularly if you want to do what you want to do. I mean, we all want to be free. We all want to get out and do what we want to do. I don't want restrictions. So now, you got some people that have compromised physically. Their immune system's not as good as what it could be. So what are we saying to those? Is it a bigger risk for them to have the injection, or is it a much bigger risk not to have them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we always rate the risks and the benefits. So those that are immunocompromised, say with different underlying conditions like cancers and other ones there, we do advise them to get those boosters. So with their course, it would be three doses rather than the normal two, because their efficacy does drop a lot quicker because of that lower immune system rate. So then they would come in for that booster as well afterwards.
Originally, I thought that the healthy person was going to have the two shots. The ones with the being compromised were the ones who are going to have the three. Is there any likelihood that that while everybody's supposed to have the third shot now, that maybe the compromised people need a fourth shot?
Yeah, so it's all within the wording that Atagi and that are saying. So immunocompromised have three doses to complete their primary course, whereas people such as ourselves would only have two doses to complete that primary course.
Yep.
Once they finish those primary courses, then they go on to have a booster to boost their immunity.
Yeah, but so is there any talk of them going on to having a fourth? one because they're already behind the eight ball?
No, because with their third dose, they can have that from 2 months afterwards having completed their course, and then the 3 months after that for their booster. So they're not too far behind.
What would you say if I was sitting here now and I said to you, I think it's a bit of a thing. I've had one and two. I call it quits at that. So what would you say to me right now, Alan? I think you need to have the booster because.
Yeah, absolutely. So vaccination is the best way just to prevent yourself and others from becoming sick. It keeps your immunity up. It does lessen the risk of transmission to others within the community, especially with everyone going to all those extracurricular activities now. And although with the Omicron, you may have less symptoms or side effects, thinking, you know, you don't need that booster, you may possibly bring that home to mum, dad, grandparents, someone that isn't as immunostable, and they may be immunocompromised there.
And the grandparents are at risk, aren't they? I mean,
absolutely. That's a significant risk there, absolutely. Even though they are trying to keep safe with their own vaccination rates, they are still susceptible. If you have been vaccinated, you can still get COVID as well, and it may prevent you from ending up in an ICU, but, still be quite unwell.
We're talking to LaToya down at Eats. We're talking vaccinations. LaToya, I think probably one thing we do need to mention, and we just mentioned it then, but emphasise a bit more, it's not only the fact that hopefully this will, keep you better by having had the three shots, but the two things are, A, you can pass it on, and I think you still can't pass it on a bit if you've been, and it's people like your grandparents, and while you might say, I'm healthy and, I'm this and I'm that, you don't know how compromised the people that you're talking to, because the compromised people don't always look sick and all that bad as they walk down the street, do they, or in your own family?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought you'd go to expand on that.
No, you had that point perfectly, and that's exactly what I wanted to get across as well, that, there are other vulnerable people. You may be young, fit and healthy at your peak there, but you do need to think of the broader community, and you never know, there are some of my younger colleagues as well that have experienced long COVID or very severe COVID side effects as well.
And the other problem is that there have been some quite young people in ICU on breathing apparatus, aren't they? Like, they haven't been all sort of 50, 60, 70-year-olds. There's been some quite, in the early 30s, from what I've read, in ICU, actually struggling to breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's such a terrible thing to think someone that, they are at their peak, they're feeling young, fit and healthy, and it's not who you expect, They're like, age, you'll put it down to comorbidities or something like that. It is affecting younger people as well.
All right. So we've been leading up to this. You've convinced us we need to go. Well, first of all, we need to emphasise that people should get the boosters, and that's what you've been saying. So if we're going to get each involved with each, how do we go about doing it, please, LaToya?
Yeah, so we do have our Ringwood Main Fix site, and we have appointments available, so please come down for any dose that you do need. We also have a sensory area here as well to provide greater access to those with a disability or sensory needs, and just a call through and let us know if you need that. We also have various pop-up clinics running in the Yarra Valley ranges there, which hopefully gives more access to those in the community. So have a look at our social media pages or the Yarra Council social media pages as well.
All right, so they need to go to Facebook, and what's the Facebook page? Is it just Each or?
Yep, just search Each or Yarra Rangers Council. Those will be the main ones there, and we'll tell you where we are, the locations, dates and times.
So is there any phone numbers, or you just do it all online?
We do accept walk-ins for all of our pop-ups there, but if you do like to come to our fixed clinic, appointment's great to have, so please call 1-800-675-398 or go to coronavirus.vic.gov.au.
And that'll get you through. We'd all be happy if COVID never came, but it's here. We need to deal with it. And I think the other thing that we need to do, not only deal with it, is to get out the other side. And if we don't do something about it, well, we're just going to get stuck in the middle, aren't we?
Absolutely. And, we do want our freedom for borders to open and, get back to some sense of normalcy, but it will be the new COVID normal.
So if somebody came down to Each this afternoon, is there opportunity this afternoon, or how far are you booked out?
So we have appointments going for the next few weeks. They're all open and ready. If you did want to come as a walk-in, we'll accept you with open arms.
So, but as early as today, or are you booked out for 2 or 3 days? That's what I'm getting at.
No, we're not booked out. We do have appointments available, so come down as soon as 2 o'clock.
Sounds good to me. And you'll be back out in the ward, or back out there getting it all sorted.
I might see you out there.
That sounds fantastic. Latoya, look, it's great to have had you along. We always enjoy having each along, but each is a great organisation. I believe you've got a new CEO, started late last year, from what I understand. So we wish her well. I'm right on that, aren't I?
Yes, Natalie, our new CEO.